Hey guys, it looks like we're watching the world's troubles increase every single day now. We're going to talk about that. I'll also share some other news headlines and testimonies, comments of the day. I got a lot of stuff to cover and we'll hang out. My name is Tom. You're watching the Watchman River Channel. And I'm going to remind you of something that I haven't done in a while, but I'm not a prophet. I'm not a pastor. And I'm not even a great teacher. I'm just a dude that loves the Lord. And I love talking about the Lord. And I love hanging out with you guys. So grab some kind of snack. I would like to recommend olives and Cheetos, but you grab whatever it is that you like to eat and drink when you're hanging out with an old friend and a fellow servant of the Lord. Let's get busy. First off, I want to start with some verses that are really, really going to encourage you. And there's some verses just about how God is in control. You know, that we don't have to worry about anything through these very hard days that we're living, waiting for the rapture of the church, a pre-tribulation rapture. So let's go to Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That gives me comfort. It gives me comfort that God's ways are so much higher than mine. It should give us all comfort. He's in total control. I like that. I don't want to be in control. I'll mess everything up. I have a track record of that. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Does that encourage you? He will not leave us nor forsake us. Once you know Jesus, once you know him, he's not going to leave you or forsake you. Gives me hope. Let's go to Psalm 23, verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I love that. Let's go to Psalm 125, verse 2. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. That means now. The Lord surrounds his people. When you belong to the Lord, he surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. Encouraging. Encouraging. Let's go to Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Have you experienced that peace that surpasses all understanding? I have. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's what lets us go through these crazy times with a sound mind and just calm. All right. He told us not to worry. He's in control. All right. The words of Jesus from John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Those are words we need to hear now as the world is crumbling right before our eyes. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's what Jesus is telling us. Let's do one more. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. He is in control of everything. We don't have to worry. He's for us. He's not against us. He loves you. He won't let you out of the palm of his hand. How many times does he tell us not to worry? Don't be troubled. Don't worry. Man, if you belong to Jesus, you can. He is a rock that we can place our trust in. He is a firm foundation. If you don't know Jesus, oh my goodness. All right, panic. Hit the panic button and get to know him quick. We're living in a world of ever-increasing troubles. We're seeing it every day, right? Every day. A very, very dark world. when I was a young man, I was always obsessed with Bible prophecy, end times, the rapture. And I used to listen to a couple old pastors, and I remember them saying all the time, when America starts crumbling, look up. They saw that would be one of the, and they didn't back it up with scripture. I'm just telling you, that's, you know, not anything that I remember. This is all from my memory, but they would always say, when America starts crumbling and falling, look up. And I think it might be, because I didn't really understand it when I was young. I didn't understand it. But I think it might be even the secular world. How many times have you seen stories about immigrants who come to America? And as America starts falling, which is happening, you know, their kids will say to them, well, where do we go from here? And there's like, no, there's nowhere else to go. You know, this is the last hope of the world. Like if America falls, as America goes, so goes the world, some say. I just find that very interesting. As we look at what's going on in the world today, as we look at our country falling. Now, you and I know we don't put our hope in a country. We don't put our hope in a leader. Everything's prophesied. We know that the world falls apart. And then the 7-year tribulation comes, and it's way worse. But we're raptured before that 7-year tribulation. So we know the world is supposed to get crazy. Jesus told us all the signs to look for, and he said, when these signs begin to happen, look up, for your redemption draws near. And they've begun to happen. Why do you think I'm looking up all the time and telling you guys to? All right. Let's see. What else do we have here? I have so many notes today. You guys just wouldn't believe it. Okay. Let's look at what's going on, okay? This is from the Jerusalem Post. Celebrating the United Nations Security Council resolution, Hamas and Islamic Jihad chiefs are in Tehran. They went to Iran to have a cupcake party after what happened. The head of Hamas, Hanaya, and the Secretary General of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad movement, Nikala, arrived in Tehran on Tuesday, yesterday, to meet with Iranian leaders a day after the UN Security Council approved a resolution demanding a ceasefire in Gaza. Hanaya met with Iranian Foreign Minister Abdollian and Iranian Supreme Leader Khomeini to discuss developments related to the ongoing war in Gaza and all the variables related to the Palestinian state, according to a statement by Hamas. They celebrated the UN Security Council resolution approved on Monday, saying during a press conference with Iran's foreign minister that this indicates the unprecedented political isolation experienced by the Israeli occupation. So in other words, they're acknowledging, guess what? The whole world's against Israel. The Hamas leader neglected to mention the resolution demands that his movement immediately and unconditionally release the Israeli hostages it kidnapped during the October 7th massacre. They're not going to release them. They don't have to release them. The whole world's against Israel. They don't have to release the hostages. The whole world is just going to try to pressure Israel to stop. And I believe the rapture is right around the corner. Says when they say, not when it happens, when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction comes and they shall not escape. And I think that has a lot to do with the rapture. That's why I tell you every day, look up every day. We're there. When these things begin to happen, look up. Have they begun to happen? Yes. This is from the Jerusalem Post. Ramadan powder keg. The Temple Mount in the eye of the storm. Although the first Fridays of the month of Ramadan passed relatively quiet, that does not mean anything about the rest of the holiday. Israel is now focused on the return of the hostages, but this tension may return as early as this Friday and may also increase in the coming weeks. It doesn't seem like Hamas has abandoned its plan to set the entire Middle East on fire on the pretext of saving Al-Aqsa. Yeah, I've been calling it Ramacom so far. It's the calmest Ramadan I've seen since I've been following this. But we'll see where it goes. With everything else going on in the world, quite frankly, it wouldn't surprise me if it got really bad there during the last couple weeks. What else? This was from yesterday afternoon. This is from Israel today. Israeli warplanes a short time ago struck the deepest part into Lebanon that they have thus far in the current war that began on October 7th. And then, about an hour later, Hezbollah fired 50 rockets at northern Israel over the last hour. Numerous interceptions were reported. And then, this morning, this is Israeli news, a massive barrage of rockets were fired into Kiryat Shemona, which is in northern Israel. And they also, from Israel today, it said reports of several homes and other buildings in Kiryat Shemona taking direct hits in this morning's Hezbollah rocket barrage. Most of the town's residents have for months already been evacuated further south, but at least one person was reportedly wounded in the attack. I believe he passed away. I believe he did. I think it was a 25-year-old guy. Sirens in northern Israel. Earlier this morning, Israeli forces struck a military facility in southern Lebanon, killing a senior terrorist from a local group allied with Hezbollah. And then again, once again, this is Jerusalem Jane from Telegram. She said, rockets are once again raining down on northern Israel, and there was a direct hit in a house. Like I said, I think it took the life of a 25-year-old man. So that's what's going on there. This is so strange, this one. Listen to this. And I verified this. I went and found other sources. But this, Serbia's president, his name is Aleksandar Vučić. I think that's how you say his name, Vučić. He shared a cryptic message on social media about a threat to national interests. Listen to the message the president of Serbia shared. Difficult days are ahead for Serbia. At this moment, it is not easy to say what kind of news we have received in the last 48 hours. They directly threaten our vital national interests, both of Serbia and Srpska. In the coming days, I will introduce the people of Serbia to all the challenges that lie ahead. It will be difficult, the most difficult so far. We will fight. Serbia will win. Talk about a cryptic message. What did he hear? Who's threatening him? Very interesting. This world is troubling. And it's escalating. It's like birth pangs, just like Jesus said. So I don't worry about it. He told us. I love that he told us tomorrow's news today. So we never have to freak out. We just go, okay, all right, I'm going to trust in you, Jesus, because I'm not trusting in any of these clowns in clown world. I'm trusting in you. Okay, so this is from Insider Paper about the Baltimore Bridge. The port blocked by Baltimore Bridge collapse is a key hub for U.S. shipping. These are things that make me say, that's all. They make me say, Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge, named after the poet who penned the lyrics to the U.S. national anthem, used to carry around 34,000 paying vehicles a day across one of the busiest harbors in the United States. Its nighttime collapse within seconds of being struck by a container ship is likely to cause substantial economic damage for as long as it continues to block shipping in the port of Baltimore. They're talking about not even starting the cleanup of the bridge that fell till April or May. So who knows? But the bridge's dramatic destruction shut the port for all maritime traffic, which last year accounted for more than 52 million tons of foreign cargo worth $80 billion, according to a recent statement from the governor. Baltimore is the deepest harbor in Maryland's Chesapeake Bay and handles the highest volume of autos and light trucks in the United States, as well as the largest quantities of imported sugar. The Port of Baltimore is the ninth busiest major U.S. port in terms of both foreign cargo handled and foreign cargo value, and it is directly responsible for more than 15,000 jobs, while supporting almost 140,000 more jobs. They said that in NPR had a little thing on it. They said Mercedes and General Motors scramble. The port jobs are at risk after the Baltimore disaster. Yeah, a lot of cars, a lot of new cars, they say, go through that port. I'm just wondering. Oh, it just makes me say, because I've seen a lot of our infrastructure. I've seen a lot of food processing plants sabotage in the last 2 years. A lot. Hundreds. I'm just wondering. So I just say, was it just an accident? Could be. Could it be something a little more nefarious? Could be. I don't know. I really don't. But I know a lot of you right now are going, you know, something fishy about it. How many times have I said, let's just say since January, there's something fishy about this. I am glad I belong to Jesus. I got to tell you that. Do you know, this was a kind of a heartwarming thing. I didn't know this until last night. This was a tweet by Colin Rugg. He said, officials stopped cars from crossing the Francis Scott Key Bridge just moments before the cargo ship collided, saving lots of lives. I didn't realize that. I guess there was, it says, according to the governor, the ship issued a mayday call just before colliding, and they were able to stop some traffic. So praise God. Praise God. What else? There was a 6.7 earthquake that hit Vanuatu last night. Also, in the middle of the night last night, my time anyway, there was a 5.7 earthquake off the coast of Northwest California. And according to Dutch Sense, our friend on YouTube, he said that the West Coast new watch is now ongoing. So, you know, in the last 24 hours, there were 42 earthquakes over 4.0, 6 over 5.0, and 1 over 6.0. So there you go. All right, listen to this. This is a little troubling. This is from Successful Farming, and this is all over the internet. Bird flu has been found in dairy cows in Texas and Kansas. The ongoing HPAI outbreak is the worst U.S. animal disease event ever and is far larger than the 2014 and 15 outbreak that killed 50 million birds in commercial flocks. The USDA announced Monday that unpasteurized milk samples from sick cattle at two dairy farms in Kansas and one in Texas, as well as a swab from another dairy in Texas, tested positive for the highly pathogenic avian influenza, which is the HPAI. The USDA stressed that the commercial milk supply is not at risk. Initial testing by the National Vet Services laboratories has not found changes to the virus that would make it more transmissible to humans, which would indicate that the current risk to the public remains low. But they are saying it's a bad one. We're in the end days, guys. We are in the end days. This story is going to really affect some people, myself included, because, you know, I do happen to like chocolate quite a bit. But there is a cocoa crisis in this world. Sorry to say, you guys who like chocolate, but cocoa prices have reached an all-time high. And what this means for Easter baskets. The skyrocketing price of cocoa, you won't believe these numbers. The skyrocketing price of cocoa sugar again, surged again on Tuesday, topping $10,000 per metric ton for the first time. And some chocolate companies plan to respond to the increase by upping the cost of products, decreasing product sizes, and advertising candies with less cocoa. They're probably going to put bugs in it instead of cocoa. You know, the chocolate cricket or something. This price is more than double. Listen to this. This price is more than double what cocoa was trading for in January, 2 months ago, as it fell below 4,200. So in January, it was below 4,200. Now it's 10,000. And almost five times more than it was in March of 2023, a year ago. A year ago, the price for a metric ton of cocoa was $29.27, just about $3,000. Now it's $10,000. Top chocolate makers Hershey and Mandela's, the maker of Cadbury, have said they intend on hiking prices to cover for the surging cocoa cost, meaning consumers will be paying more for chocolate in stores, obviously. The rising prices are a result of lackluster weather-related crop yields in West Africa. Remember I said it about what, a month ago, 2 months ago? I had talked about chocolate and I said the weather is destroying the cocoa fields. Incredible. Don't mess with the chocolate, but you know what? We're not going to deal with it that much longer. All right, I got to get my Clown World sound effect. I'm going to have it for this one. What is going on in Canada? This one, sometimes I can't just read it. I look at it, it's like I'm not ready yet. So sometimes I just have to look at a headline and then look at the camera and I'm not ready yet. All right, I think I'm ready. Here we go. Wait. I had to do the clown sound effect before I read the headline. There's going to be a rain tax in Canada. Toronto faces anger over this tax plan. A rain, yeah, rain, the water that falls from the sky. A rain tax. One might have heard of the goods and services tax and income tax, but a city in Canada now plans to charge what is being dubbed the rain tax. Toronto is considering a new type of tax aimed at addressing stormwater management issues. Toronto's municipal government is considering the introduction of a rain tax and is set to be implemented in April, according to the Toronto government's official website. The rain tax plan has angered Toronto residents. Really? I wonder why. What are we going to... I got to pray for no rain because, man, I'm going to be taxed to death. That is... It's clown world. That is clown world. Does it surprise me? Nothing surprises me anymore, you guys. Nothing. Nothing. Rain tax. All right. How about we get to a couple testimonies of the day? Let's do it, okay? Jamie. I didn't find Jesus. He found and rescued me. In my darkest days, he never left my side. He showed me the path to follow and drew me to him, and I didn't resist. I am where I am spiritually today because of him and his grace, his presence, love, and guidance. Amen. Amen. Sherry. Not growing up in a Christian home, I was saved at 9 years old as a result of a Baptist bus ministry. I walked down the long aisle to the front of the church alone with negative accusing thoughts the entire way. I was saved in a Baptist church. I was later baptized in a Presbyterian church, and I was married in a Nazarene church. My allegiance is to the Word of God and the God of the Word. If we're still here in 2031, we will celebrate 50 years of marriage. I'm so thankful the Lord Jesus has forgiven and saved me, and I eagerly await his soon return. We're not going to be here in 2031, Sherry. I'm sorry to say, you'll have to celebrate the 50 years of marriage in heaven. I've told you guys already, I don't think we're going to be here. Remember what I said? I said it at the end of last year. I said, if we're here for the November election, I will eat my hat. And thank goodness you guys are so kind. They said, Tom, don't worry. Many of you have said, don't worry, Tom. If you do have to eat your hat, you can cut it in little pieces and I'll have a piece for you. So thank goodness that you guys will do that for me. All right. This is from Stevie Joe. I started watching you a little over a year ago. I was a prodigal daughter who had just found my way back to Jesus. Actually, he pulled me out of the darkness. This year has been amazing. I have gone through trials and tribulations. My faith has been tested. I have moments of defeat. I have done things wrong, but every time I look at myself, I remember to look at Jesus Christ 10 times. I love that. I feel like through these dark times, we need to remind the saints to shine ever so bright for our Jesus. I'm so thankful he pulled me out of the pig pen. Now my feet are on solid ground and I give him every bit of the glory. Maranatha, my friends. Praise God. Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you. Let's do some comments. Fancy said, hey, Tom, as someone who lives near this bridge, I can tell you we were all stunned praying for all the victims of this incident. I can't imagine that bridge falling was, I mean, everybody's seen the video by now. It's traumatic. Karen, praying for Baltimore and Israel. Shame on the USA for again turning their back on Israel. It's biblical, but hard to watch. I agree. I love and stand with Israel. Amen, Karen. Yeah, it is hard to watch. But we knew it was going to happen at some point. We knew it was going to happen. Vanessa, I used to live in constant anxiety. Now I barely even remember what that feels like. I live in newness of life. Jesus heals. I am being healed. It's a beautiful process with my loving Lord and Savior gently placing his healing hands on all parts of my life. I'm praying for all precious souls going through so much right now. This world needs Jesus. Amen, it needs Jesus. You're right about that. We're living in the very last days. We're living in the very last days. And Jesus is coming soon to rapture the church. But if you don't know what he did for you, you're playing a very dangerous game. You really, really, time is short. And your time to get to know Jesus is very, very short. And I'm just going to quickly give you the gospel. And I'm going to pray that you make a decision for Jesus, because the 7-year tribulation is speeding at us. It's the worst time period since the creation of mankind. It'll be the worst time period to be alive. So I'm going to just tell you very simply in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. For I deliver to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel right there, the good news. Jesus died for our sins. He paid for our sins with his blood. We're all sinners. We all need payment for our sins. If you show up on judgment day and you reject the payment for your sins, you're going to be led off to eternal separation from God, aka hell, because you said no to the payment. Now, when I hear that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was brutalized and went to a cross and paid for my sins with his blood, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. When I hear that, I'm like, where do I go? Like, what do I need to do? And you know what? It's so easy. You believe in the power of the blood, because you know what? That blood is so powerful that Jesus shed, that it will literally, it has the power to remove every sin that's ever been committed. So when you put your faith in the blood and say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I believe that your blood has the power to wash me white as snow. I believe that. And then you believe in what Jesus did, that he came here and lived perfectly and died on the cross and was buried and rose the third day. When you believe that, you're saved. You're born again. God will put his Holy Spirit inside of you. Born again. New life. Jesus said, behold, I make all things new. You can be made new today. Be rapture ready, sealed until the day of redemption. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's a good God, and he wants to spend eternity with you. That's the choice you should make today. That's the choice you should make. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. This may be the one day. This may be your one day where you're open to hearing this and saying, yeah, I need to believe in what Jesus did for me and get eternal life. That gift, grace, is an unearned gift, and we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus, his blood and what he did for us on the cross and his resurrection. Choose wisely. That's what I got for you today. So I'm going to shut the camera off now, and I'm going to say a prayer for every person who watched this video. And if we're not raptured today, and you know what, today is a perfectly good day for the rapture. But if we're not, God willing, I will see you guys tomorrow. I love you guys.